Let's all stand for the Holy Scripture.
It's Leviticus chapter 20, verse 24. And it says, "But I," referring to the Lord God, "have said unto you," referring to Israel, "ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people." You may be seated. The title of this message is, "Who Are the Globalists?" But first, I'll bring some news from what's going on. This is from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I think JFK was his uncle. I'm quoting, he says, "The vaccine companies are making," and I'll add the word "only," $60 billion a year selling mandatory vaccines. They're also making, and I'll add the word "only," $500 billion a year selling EpiPens, inhalers, anti-seizure medications, diabetes and arthritis meds, etc. Virtually all the medications they sell are targeted to treat diseases that are listed as side effects of the vaccines. On their own, manufacture inserts. It's the perfect business model. They make us all sick and create lifetime customers, unquote. I also have another issue. The Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, that's referred to as the SNCC, was founded in 1960 in the wake of student-led sit-ins at segregated lunch counters across the South, and became the major channel of student participation in the civil rights movement. I don't know if you ever ate at a restaurant that was segregated. I can hardly think of any that I don't think I ever did. But the South had segregated restaurants. So they would get students and they would go into these all-white restaurants and sit in. Does anyone know who was the chairman of the SNCC? His name was John Lewis. And Nancy Pelosi has named the new Voting Rights Act for the civil rights hero, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. And who was a supporter, including financial, to the SNCC? Well, of course, the beloved actor Sidney Poitier. Sidney, along with Harry Belafonte, helped organize the March on Washington and helped plan Michael King Jr.'s memorial after he was assassinated. I'm going to give my lesson's going to name all these people. Everyone knows these people, most of them. You'll be amazed. They're all intertwined, and they're every day. Everybody knows Sidney Poitier. Harry Barafani, they all know him. They're all on the wrong side. Well, on April 18, 2020, there was a special six-hour concert. It was called One World, Together at Home. 6 hours. There were hundreds of performers who sang and talked about the COVID-19 that had sprung up throughout the world. This television special was put on between Global Citizen and Jewish singer-songwriter Lady Gaga, which benefited the World Health Organization, WHO, COVID-19 Solidarity Response Fund. Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Stephen Colbert were the host of the show. Looking up Steve Colbert on Wikipedia, it says he was reared as a devout Roman Catholic. But he seems as devout a Roman Catholic as President Biden, for he doesn't believe many of the doctrines of the Catholic Church, including being for aborticide and birth control. He is the host of the Emmy Award-winning Colbert Report on Comedy Central, is a top-selling author and a host of late-night shows on CBS. And then surprisingly, I found this. It said that he is one of the many popular celebrities to be ordained as a minister of the Unification Life Church. I said, what? What is the Unification Life Church? Well, I found that being an ordained minister, he took his new ordination and used it to officiate a wedding on his television show. The wedding couple, Mike Casuso and Mei Lin Lee, were unable to marry at the Jefferson Memorial. So Stephen Colbert decided to act and officiate their wedding. Nothing was said about this being an international wedding that until about 50 years ago was completely illegal in the United States. And there's a picture of him marrying a mixed-race couple on his television show. You can see the person on the left. She looks Oriental. There's Colbert marrying them on his TV show. Well, looking up the Unification Life Church, it is an online, quote, multi-denominational religious organization, unquote, that allows members to become ordained and perform functions that any minister can, like weddings and funerals. On their website, it says its founder, Kirby Hensley, personally believed in reincarnation instead of resurrection, a merely human Jesus instead of a divine man, Son of God. And the third thing, the reunification of all religious and governments instead of separation from all non-Adamic nations. None of these three beliefs are Christian. Even the false Judeo-Christian, I think, would equate these beliefs as being heresy. But like the ULC, the Universal Church, allows its members to follow their own doctrines. You can believe anything you want to believe. There are currently a few states, just a few states, that do not recognize ministers ordained through websites like ULC. So I looked up who all is a minister of the ULC. There's their website right there, universallifechurchminister.org. And they have the list of the following celebrities who are or were ordained ministers besides Stephen Colbert. Oh, that's very interesting. The first one is Adele. Well, she's a very popular singer. Glenn Beck. He's the Mormon radio host. Johnny Carson. He's a television late night host. Tony Danza. He's an actor. Sammy Davis Jr. He was a black singer and actor. Doris Day from Cincinnati, singer and actress. Of course, Lady Gaga, singer. She's an ordained minister of the ULC. Whoopi Goldberg, actress and TV host. Chris Harrison, host of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. George Harrison of the Beatles. Goldie Hawn, who's an actress. Hugh Hefner, creator of Playboy magazine. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who's an actor. John Lennon of the Beatles. Courtney Love, an actress. Paul McCartney of the Beatles. Paul Newman, actor. Madeline Murray O'Hare, an atheist who got the, what, prayer out of the schools, or the Bible out of the school or something. Kevin O'Leary, who's a member of Shark Tank. Anthony Perkins, actor. Debbie Reynolds, actress and singer. Joan Rivers, a comedian. Tori Spelling, an actress. Ringo Starr, the Beatles. So all four Beatles are really. Jimmy Stewart, an actor. Sharon Stone, an actress. Barbara Streisand, a Jewish singer. Lawrence Welk. Lawrence Welk. Oh, my goodness. And Mae West, an actress. And that is just a few of the ULC ministers. This concert special was also simulcast on select U.S. cable television networks, streaming platforms, and international broadcast networks. A special broadcast on CBS, ABC, and NBC, as well as other global networks and platforms. Who were the sponsors? Well, up at the top, I was interested in who the sponsors were. Analog Devices, Cisco System, Citibank, Coca-Cola, GSK, I don't know what that is, IBM, Johnson & Johnson. Oh, they got the Band-Aid. P&G, that's a Masonic group at Cincinnati. Pepsi-Cola, State Farm Insurance, Target, Tenneco, Verizon, Vodafone, and Weight Watchers. And then I said, who were some of the artists that performed or addressed the audience during the six-hour concert? Here are some of them. Sheryl Crow, who's a singer. Billy Ray Cyrus, singer. John Legend, a singer. Jennifer Hudson, a singer and actress. Heidi Klum, who's a model and actress. And I can never pronounce this guy's name. I'm not going to even try. President of the UN General Assembly, the president. Chrissy Teigen, a model. Sarah Jessica Parker, an actress. Bill de Blasio, former mayor of New York City, who's an avid communist. Matt Damon, an actor. Kate Winslet, who's an actress. T.D. Jakes, Negro preacher and bishop. Mike Bloomberg, businessman and one of the Democratic candidates for the nomination of the President of the United States in 2020. A Lady Gaga singer and songwriter. Stevie Wonder, a singer. Paul McCartney, a singer. Elton John, a homosexual singer. The Rolling Stones singers. Keith Urban, a singer. Jennifer Lopez, singer and actress. Billie Eilish, a singer. Taylor Swift, singer. Celine Dion, a singer. Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, TV late night host. Usher, who's a musician. Ellen DeGeneres, comedian, TV host. Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, host of the TV Today Show. Beyonce, a singer. And then the director general of the WHO. Alicia Keys, a singer. Laura Bush, former First Lady of the United States. Michelle Obama, former First Lady of the United States. Lester Holt, host of NBC Nightly News and Dateline NBC. Melinda and Bill Gates, philanthropist and former official of Microsoft. Oprah Winfrey, TV host. And on and on and on. There are five people in the above list who I have highlighted in bold type and underlined. These five will be mentioned later in this sermon, as well as many others, as their lives are intertwined and woven together in a giant jigsaw puzzle. They're all part of the globalist agenda. Lady Gaga is a singer who has sung songs like Born This Way and Hair that minorities, especially the LGBTQ plus community, gain justification for their abominable actions. Born This Way has sold close to 11 million copies worldwide, becoming one of the best-selling singles of all time that depicts the homosexuals are quote-unquote born this way and therefore are not responsible for their activities. And here I have a picture of Together at Home concert, People Like a Clock, World Health Organization. See that serpent going up the pole? And then Global Citizen. I got that red O and the red O. Global Citizen. The concert was sponsored by these two groups, the WHO and the Global Citizen. That means the world citizen. Notice the serpent slivering up the pole in the WHO organ insignia. Now, culture wars. Ezekiel Emanuel, a former Biden aide on COVID-19, grew up with his two younger brothers in Chicago. And I'll tell you about Chicago in a minute. But spent summers with them in Jerusalem, Israel. One of his brothers, Rahm Emanuel. I always heard of Rahm Emanuel. I've never heard of Ezekiel Emanuel. They're brothers. Rahm Emanuel was both Clinton's and Obama's aide, Illinois state representative, and other offices, later became mayor of Chicago, Illinois. Emanuel's paternal grandfather was a Moldovan Jew who immigrated from Bessarabia. I never heard of Moldovan. I never heard of Bessarabia, so I had to find out where it was from. So, Moldovan Jew, here's the Black Sea. Oh, this is Russia, it's over by the Ukraine in Romania. And there's Moldova right there. So that's where he's from. The next one will show Bessarabia. And the blue is Romania. This is Ukraine, this Moldova. That's where he's from. And then it's interesting because Emmanuel is not their last name, the real name. The surname Emmanuel, which means God is with us, was adopted by their family in honor of his father's brother, Emmanuel Auerbach, who was killed in 1933 in an altercation with Arabs in Jerusalem. So they took his first name. So Ezekiel and Rahm's mother, I looked up her and found, who was a nurse and a psychiatric social worker, was raised in Chicago's West Side. She was active in civil rights, including the Congress of Racial Equality, the CORE. How do these people come here? They were over there, they come here, and they become head of the... Ezekiel Emanuel makes a lot of the rulings for the vaccines. Rahm becomes a governor, he becomes a mayor, he's a president's aide. What is this? Her mother is active in the Congress of Racial Equality. Now, who's the Congress of Racial Equality? Well, I looked that up. The Congress of Racial Equality was founded in 1942. That's the year I was born. By interracial, so different races, group of the University of Chicago students. So you're in Chicago. They got a group of students. The core pioneered key tactics of modern civil rights movement, which were using sit-ins, and segregated restaurants, you bring people in there, and other form of civil disobedience to challenge what? Segregation. That's right before they were founded the year I was born. I just put a note in there. Sidney Poitier and John Lewis were in favor of these groups to challenge segregation. Were they following God's laws or were they following their God's laws? And they were all the heroes on the TV stations. They were big heroes. Winning victories in northern cities in the 40s and 50s, CORE became active in the South with the lunch counter sit-ins of 1960. The following year, CORE organized freedom rides, sending black and white students south to disrupt segregated interstate bus service. 1960. The South had segregated white buses, other colored buses. Drawing much of its membership from college campuses, so the colleges had been corrupted for a long time. CORE kept up civil disobedience campaigns in the North as well as the South. And now I really found out about Chicago. Look at that. The Communist Party of the United States was established in the city of Chicago in 1919, right at the end of the First World War, by left-wing Socialist Party members who were inspired by the Bolshevik Revolution. Chicago, head of the Communist Party. Through 1923, their members seemed to do little else but disagree over eternal questions facing their organization. Between 1928 and 35, however, Chicago's Communist Party experienced its first exponential growth in membership. Tens of thousands turned out for communist rallies, and the city's communists developed lasting structures in its neighborhoods and factories. In these years, communists learned to work with liberals and non-communists. They developed successful organizing tactics and fought for workers' rights. They fought for racial equality, unemployment relief, and against imperialism. So they grew. Party members, Communist Party members, believed that capitalism had moved into its third period of development and that capitalism's collapse and imperialism's end were certain. To that end, communists centered their activities on speeding the system's ruin. Oh, they want to ruin capitalism, and they want to ruin the United States. They're doing a good job. By exposing the problems capitalism created, helping workers understand class conflict, fighting for racial justice, and exposing liberals and other non-communist leftists as social fascist betrayers to the workers' cause. No wonder so many of today's liberal politicians come from Chicago. They're communists. Hillary and Obama, and two in particular. The Emanuel brothers' mother, I looked her up, she owned a local rock and roll club and later became an adherent of Benjamin Spock's writings. I remember a little bit about Benjamin Spock. So I looked him up. Spock wrote a book on child care that sold almost as many books as the Bible in its first 5 years. Wow. The book was criticized by colleagues for propagating permissiveness and an expectation of instant gratification. Spock studied psychoanalysis, which was invented by the Jew. Oh, Sigmund Freud. I heard of him. Benjamin Spock, you know, he ran for president of the United States as the People's Party nominee in 1972. You remember that voting in 72 and saw Benjamin Spock? He campaigned on a maximum wage, legalized abortion, and withdrawing troops from all foreign countries. He ran for vice president in 1976 with a colored woman who ran for president. Well, after that brief introduction to Ezekiel Emanuel's ancestries, we'll look at one of the things that Ezekiel Emanuel wrote. So, quote, Ezekiel Emanuel wrote, "This means colonoscopies and other cancer screening tests are out and before 75. If I," referring to Ezekiel, "were diagnosed with cancer now at the age of 57, I would probably be treated unless the prognosis was very poor. But 65 would be my last colonoscopy. No screening for prostate cancer at any age. After 75, if I develop cancer, I would refuse treatment. Similarly, no cardiac stress test, no pacemaker, and certainly no implantable defibrillator. No heart valve replacement or bypass surgery. If I develop emphysema or some similar disease that involves frequent exacerbations that would normally land me in the hospital, I would accept treatment all these big words, ameliorate the discomfort caused by the feeling of suffocation, but I refuse to be hauled off. What about simple stuff? Flu shots are out. This is 2014. No flu shots. Certainly, if there was to be a full epidemic, a younger person to live a complete life, they are to get the vaccine or any antiviral drug, but I will not get the vaccine. Unquote. Ezekiel Emanuel. But what does Ezekiel say in 2021? Has he changed his mind? Quote, Michael Martin speaks with Dr. Zeke Emanuel about President Biden's new call for vaccine mandates and why he, referring to Ezekiel, think these mandates are needed at this point in the pandemic, unquote. What? Emanuel said 7 years ago that he wouldn't take any flu shot. Then in 2020, he stated not only he would take one, but he was in favor of Biden's mandate. And there's a picture of Ezekiel Emanuel. He looks a lot like Rob. You could tell they're brothers. For ever the aristocrat, Obama architect, and Biden health care advisor, Ezekiel Emanuel has co-authored a call in the New York Times for vaccine mandates. He is quoted as saying, and since I found out about Ezekiel mandate, I've heard him on the news 2 times. He's all over the place. Here's a quote. How can we increase vaccinations? Mandates. And I'll tell you, at work, there were two of my supervisors who said they did not have the vaccine. The vaccine's coming. They don't want to lose their job. I'm getting the vaccine, they said. Vaccine should be required for healthcare workers and for all students who plan to attend in person this fall, including younger children, once the vaccine is authorized for them by the Food and Drug Administration. Employers should also be prepared to make vaccines mandatory for prison guards, EMTs, police officers, firefighters, and teachers if overall vaccinations do not reach the level required for herd immunity, unquote. Ezekiel agrees with Anthony Fauci's demands. Who is Fauci? The richest paid man in the government. He retired, makes $350,000 a year. Fauci is an Italian-American. His grandparents lived in Sicily. Who was sent to Sicily? A lot of Jews at Sicily. And his parents lived in Italy. His parents immigrated to the United States at the turn of the century. His father owned a sorcery shop in New York City. In 1958, Anthony Fauci entered Regis High School, a free school on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, with a special mission of educating sons of Catholic immigrants in the Jesuit? That's an anti-Protestant Reformation tradition. The Jesuit philosophy, quote, to be men for others, unquote, was an important principle that ran through Tony's education. His high school training emphasized languages and the classics. He took 4 years of Latin, 3 of Greek, and 2 of French. He met his wife. Have you ever seen his wife? He met his wife. I said, I've never seen her. I wonder who she is. Who was one of his nurses as he worked at the hospital. They met over the bed of one of his patients. After meeting her, he invited her into his office. She thought that he was going to fire her. Instead, he asked her out for a date. 2 years later, they were married. And do you know that Ezekiel Emanuel wrote several papers with Fauci's wife, Christine Grady? He wrote papers. They're friends. They're papers about how we used to be in a post-consent-informed era. But now we're past that. We're in something called community partnership, where people should be expected to do things for the good of the whole. Christine Grady heads the National Institute of Health Bioethics Department and the Department of Human Experimentation. And there she is, the wife of Anthony Fauci. Doesn't go by his last name. Christine Grady, remember, is the head of the Department of Bioethics, NIH Clinical Center. She has written that she has, quote, no conflicts of interest to declare, unquote. But she does. She is the wife of Anthony Fauci. Isn't that a conflict of interest? Now we'll talk about Marina Abramovich. Bill Gates selected her to be the star of a virtual life video, Marina Abramovich. The video was called The Life. This video was shown on April 20th, 2020, which is just 2 days after the six-hour concert was shown. So the six-hour concert, 2 days later, this video comes up. It depicted what life could be like in the future. Virtual reality was the theme. It received 20,000 thumbs down and 625 thumbs up. I've never seen anything where it was more down than up in any video I watched. It was quickly taken down. Now, who was Marina Abramovich? In 1974, Abramovich did a terrifying experiment. At a gallery in her native Belgrade, Serbia, she laid out 72 items on a table and invited the public to use them on her in any way they saw fit. She signed a paper that said no one would be liable for anything that they did to her. Some of the items were benign: a feather boa, some olive oil, roses. Others were not, and I got a quote from her. I had a pistol with bullets in it. My dear, I was ready to die, unquote. You could shoot her and you'd not be responsible. At the end of 6 hours, she walked away, dripping with blood and tears, but alive. Abramovich first became the object of fascination on the online right during the final days of the 2016 election, when the WikiLeaks dump of emails from the Clinton campaign chairman, John Podesta, revealed a reference to a spirit cooking dinner with the artist. She then mentored, there's Lady Gaga again. She mentored Lady Gaga, who she told to enter the woods, strip naked, and then find her way home. After a 3-day retreat in upstate New York, Marina instructed her in the Abramovich Method, a series of exercises designed to heighten participants' awareness of their physical and mental experience in the present moment. And there she is. Here is Bill Gates' friend and new star, the Microsoft commercial. Now hand your children over them to be vaccinated. There she is. It was Lady Gaga who was the one who arranged and planned much of the concert One World Together at Home. There were three main persons that spoke at the six-hour television concert. The first was the head of the WHO. The second was Bill and Melinda Gates. And the third was Oprah Winfrey. I remember her. She used to be on TV. First, I'll give you the quote from the World Health Organization. Quote, the World Health Organization is committed to defeating the coronavirus pandemic with science and public health measures and supporting the health workers who are on the front lines of the response. He also shared in a statement, quote, we may have to be apart physically for a while, but we can come together virtually to enjoy great music. The One World Together at Home concert presents a powerful show of solidarity against a common threat, unquote. Well, we got Lady Gaga, Oprah, Biden, John of God, and Abramovich. Well, first, at the Golden Globe ceremony, Oprah's speech about female empowerment and the Time's Up movement led many to call her to run for president in 2020. Remember that? Oprah Winfrey for president. But Seal, whose real name is Henry Samuel, ex-husband of Heidi Klum, accused Oprah of knowing about Harvey Weinstein's sexual misconduct. There are hundreds of photographs of the two of them, Oprah and Harvey, taken together. Well, Heidi Klum, I heard of her. I didn't know who her ex-husband was, so I looked that up. And here he is. Oh, he's black. Heidi and Seal, real name Henry Samuel, were married from 2005 to 2014. It was an interracial marriage. In a recent Instagram post, Seal accused Oprah of knowing about Harvey Weinstein's predatory behavior towards young women, quote unquote, for decades, and doing nothing about it. When the allegations of Weinstein's history of sexual abuse and harassment came to light in late 2017, Winfrey posted on her Facebook saying, quote, I've been processing the accounts of Harvey Weinstein's hideous behavior and haven't been able to find the words to articulate the magnitude of the situation, unquote. And here's old Winfrey. Our culture is broken by brutally powerful men, just like this one. And she's getting a big kiss. But there's even more. Oprah in 2015 went to Brazil and spent some time with John of God. I never heard of John of God. Did you hear of John of God? I never heard of John. Oprah Winfrey went down to spend time with John of God. Well, John of God is a spiritual medium. John of God is a man with no medical degree and little former education. Yet the controversial faith healer performs surgeries to help the sick and the dying. And here's a picture of Oprah with John of God in Brazil. Who is John of God? His body incorporates the spirits of diseased healers. These healers, whom John of God calls entities, are the ones performing the surgeries. But John of God was arrested for running a child sex slave farm. He kept teenagers as sex slaves and sold their babies for up to 40,000 pounds before shipping them from Brazil to Europe. For decades, John of God attracted crowds with his alleged faith-healing powers, at first capitalizing on local spiritualist beliefs, but soon riding the wave of New Age spirituality to cater to personalities such as Oprah Winfrey and performance artist Marina Abramovich. John of God, whose real name, I in no way can pronounce this name. Is that what it is? I have no idea. Was also arrested for being accused by hundreds of women, over 600, including his own daughter, of sexual crimes penetrated during healing sessions and other places. Then we have Gates and Abramovich. Abramovich has a five-pointed star on her chest since childhood. She carved a five-pointed star on her chest. She claims that it was not a sign of Satan, but was a sign of communism. That was in her home country of Serbia, which is now Yugoslavia. But isn't communism Jewishism? Abramovich has friends at the highest levels. Here's a picture of her. Guess who that's a picture of? Who's that? Jacob Rothschild. And Abramovich. JFK Jr. had this to say about Bill Gates. Quote, his sinister African-American tactic system has suspiciously coincidental October 2019 Convotus War Game situations. His pandemic documentary on Netflix, his autocratic control of Anthony Fauci and the WHO, for whom he's the top funder, his coronavirus vaccine patents, and his barely disguised quarantine that is impoverishing his countrymen and crushing their will to resist his tyrannical reforms, unquote. Now I'm going to speak about the House of Israel. I could go on. Look at all these people. The House of Israel eventually became Baal worshipers. And I thought, what in the world? What if I was living in that time? They were Baal worshipers. And I wondered how many of them were completely converted by Elijah the prophet. How many? Was Elijah credited with starting a revival? God sent his prophet to tell Israel to stop, quote, limping between two different opinions, unquote. 1 Kings 18:21 says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." What did the Israelites say? Didn't say a word. Well, through Elijah, God declared that Baal couldn't deliver the goods and his people couldn't have it both ways. To win his people back, God demonstrated his power and mocked Baal. Baal promised to rain, so God sent a drought at the word of his prophet. 1 Kings 17:1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, the king of the house of Israel, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, according to my word." You know where Gilead is? There's Gilead. That's where Elijah was from. And where is Mount Carmel? There's Mount Carmel. This is where Elijah's from. And there's where he had that big contest. While Baal worshippers went hungry during the drought, God fed Elijah meat and bread, delivered him daily by ravens. 1 Kings 17:6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. He drank of the brook till the brook ran dry. Even on Baal's home turf, people starve while waiting for Baal to bring his promised abundance. Meanwhile, in the middle of Baal country, God made oil and flour overflow for Elijah and his newfound friends, who happened to be a widow and her son. 1 Kings 17:14-16. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she," referring to the widow woman of Zarephath, "went out and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah." When the young son of the widow woman died, it was Elijah who raised him back to life. 1 Kings 17:22. "And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the young child," son of the widow woman, "came unto him again, and he revived." God took care of his own while the king who had turned to Baal wandered the countryside, hoping to find a bit of grass for the few horses and mules who hadn't died yet. The queen attempted to murder all the prophets of the Lord. This is the house of Israel. About 100 prophets were saved by Obadiah, who hid them and fed them with bread and water. My question is, what happened to these prophets? What if you were a prophet? What if Jim, Walt, and I were put in the cave and fed bread and water? How long we fed bread and water? How do you feed 100 people when it's a drought? How do you get the bread and water? I don't know. It doesn't tell us. What happened afterwards? What happened to these 100 prophets after Elijah? What happened to them? They stay in the cave? Who knows? The queen attempted to murder all the prophets of the Lord. She wanted to murder us. About 100 prophets were saved by Obadiah, who hid them and fed them with bread and water. 1 Kings 18:4-5. "And it was so when Jezebel, that's the queen, cut off the prophets of the Lord. And Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Obadiah Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land, unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. I would say the king's priorities are out of place. Baal's 450 prophets worked themselves into a frenzy, cutting themselves, dancing and chanting to their God, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. 1 Kings 18:29, it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. But God listened to his prophet Elijah. He sent fire from heaven. He sent the rain in torrents. The Lord God of Israel turned the hearts of his people back to himself. He solicited their allegiance, work, and worship for himself and his kingdom. But soon, Elijah was in big trouble. King Ahab told Queen Jezebel what Elijah had done at Mount Carmel. He had all the false prophets at Mount Carmel slain. That's 450 of them. He didn't kill them by himself. Consequently, the feminine royal leader sent some of her soldiers after Elijah to kill him. Elijah went deep into the wilderness and sat under a juniper tree and requested that he might die. Elijah said he had been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel had, number one, forsaken his covenant. I asked you a question. Has the Christian church forsaken his covenant? I went for years and never. I thought it was a Jewish covenant. Number two, thrown down his altars. And three, slain thy prophets with the sword. They don't slay us physically, but they slay us spiritually. We are heretics to them. He then stated that he, Elijah, was the only one left, and they seek his life too. I wonder how surprised Elijah must have been when he found out there were 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. As soon as Elijah was told this, he passed the mantle on to the next prophet, Elisha. Does this Old Testament story have a meaning for us in today's world? Is America no longer a Christian nation? Is America following, quote, the way of the heathen, unquote? The stories of Ezekiel Emanuel, Lady Gaga, what a good name, Lady Gaga, Oprah Winfrey, Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, etc., all depict the way they exhorting their followers to go that way. The true churches in America are become fewer and fewer. Will they go out of existence? Are we a remnant of one of the few that are left? Or are there at least 7,000? Forsake the broad way of the way of the heathen, and instead follow the narrow way, the way of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.